Welcome to Purifying Truths with Ace Star. Today we have with us all the way from London, Mr. Perry Power. Oh my goodness, we're so excited to have you with us today. Please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and what you do. Welcome.
Hello, thank you. Just want to say that intro music, I was vibing. Love it.
Thank you.
Love it. Hey guys, so my name is Perry Power. I'm from London. I am a coach. I'm an author. I run two charities and I'm also an actor in the entertainment industry. So that is that's what I do. And for the last 5 years, ever since I broke my silence, I've been on a mission to help as many people as possible who are living in silence to break that so they don't go down the same road that my dad went down and hopefully don't live in silence for as long as I did, which was 12 years.
My goodness. Just for those that aren't familiar with you, you're talking about intrafamiliar abuse. And so we all know that abuse can come in various forms, you know, verbal, physical, mental, financial, and the list goes on and on and on. We'll dive into that in just a bit. But Perry, please tell us a little bit about your childhood. Where did you grow up and what did you experience?
So I grew up in West London in Chiswick. My biological mother left when I was 4, which left just me and my dad. My dad raised me. And then a couple of years later, he met a woman who became my stepmom. She moved in and that then became kind of like the new family. And then when I was roughly 10 years old, for about a year and a half, I was being sexually abused by my step-granddad. So this is my dad's mum's husband. And he would abuse me. And at the time, which I know a lot of people be able to relate to if they've been through a similar type of abuse, I had no idea that I was actually being abused. I thought it was just a form of love that he was given to me, that no other family member was given to me. And he groomed me in a way where I saw my step-granddad as the hero. You know, I idolized the man. He took me to the pub. He let me drink his ales and his Guinness. Mm-hmm. And he would let me watch whatever I wanted on the TV. But when we was watching things on the TV, I'd be sitting on his lap. And that's when he would do a lot of the things to me. Mm-hmm. My stepmom caught it happening once, and that's how actually it all stopped. That's how it all came to an end, because she saw it happening. She took me out, took me home, told my dad. Then my dad said to me, right, you're not going around there anymore, and don't share this with anybody outside of these four walls of the house. You need to keep this to yourself.
Oh.
And at the time, I was like, okay, well, why are you being so dramatic for? Like, you know, my dad became the villain of my story, because still at that point, I had no idea what my step-granddad was doing. I didn't know what sexual abuse was at that age. And my dad was reacting in a way that really got me guarded, you know, and it got me defensive. And so I never went around to my nan's house again. I never saw my step-granddad again. He died 2 years after that from a heart attack at work. And I started seeing my nan again. And she died, I think, like maybe a year or two after that. But I grew up living in silence because of that. To begin with, I didn't know that I was living in silence because I didn't know there was anything going on. But then as I got older and become a teenager, I, you know, enter social groups and sexual abuse becomes something that's on TV, and I'm trying to step into the shoes of what the society sees as what a man is. So I go into social groups and I go to school, and sexual abuse and rape and things like that starts to become something of a conversation in the news and amongst people around me. And that's when I was more so forced to confront what actually happened, because there was proof right in front of my eyes that, dude, you were abused as a child by a family member. Mm. And when I got hit with that realization, that's when a lot of the struggles started to happen between who I was scared to be and who I was trying to be.
I first want to applaud you and thank you for being so candid in sharing your story. It takes bravery and it takes looking in the mirror and knowing that there's more than you to come out and tell your story. Because truly, there's so many that are in hiding. I find your story very unique, and I'm intrigued because the mom left. And I'm like, being a mom, you left your babies? So that there is one twist that makes it different. And then we as society usually protect our girls. We don't usually think that our boys are being or can be sexually assaulted. I'm sorry that it happened to you, but I'm glad that you're speaking out because I'm a mother of sons. And it just lets us know, keep our eyes and ears open. And your stepmom, God knows, I'm so glad that she didn't do what many do and sweep it under the rug and allow it to continue while turning a blind eye. Your story is one of triumph and overcoming. I wrote a brief excerpt about my personal life. It's funny how we're all connected, I believe, in Dr. Tanya Blackman's book, How I Made It Over. And during that, I told where I was molested by a family friend, and I too had no idea that it was something wrong. I thought it was normal. And so for those that are in the audience that may have thought the same thing, you're not alone. You know, whether you're in the US or the UK, it's still wrong. Don't be afraid to accept it, the feelings, open your mouth, speak out, and look out for the next generation. Perry, I'm just so excited that you didn't let that destroy you, because many times secrets destroy us. How did you break your silence as an adult? We don't want to tell anybody. We're embarrassed. But you're not doing that. What gave you that courage?
Well, for some people, something switches internally for them. For some people, something happens in the external world, which forces them to change paths, right? Because they didn't want the same thing happening to them. Well, the latter is what happened to me. Roughly from about 2013, 2014, my dad became an alcoholic, but he was an extremely functioning alcoholic. He was a good family man, but he just started to drink more and more and more. And when I would come around to the family house, if I just happened to be there at the right time, he would get me to fill up the vodka bottle with water and put it back in the cupboard so my stepmom wouldn't sort of notice that he was drinking. And there was one time in 2017, he came around to my house and he was drunk, which meant he had been drink driving, which he did quite a bit. And he came around and he was bitching about how he just had an argument with my stepmom, and just let him vent. And then I made him a cup of tea. Then he left. And then I text him saying, "Dad, why are you drinking so much? Like, it's getting a bit out of hand. It's like every time I see you, you're drunk." And he replies back to me and says, "To fight away the demons." And that's all he said. And I remember being like, what demons is he talking about? Well, like, what on earth is he talking about? Now, at that stage, so I said he'd become an alcoholic. He then had high blood pressure. So he's on high blood pressure tablets. January 2017, became a diabetic. And then May time is when that happened, when he came around and I sent him the text. And then June the 1st in the morning, I wake up, my dad's texting me and he says, "I've got a pain in my stomach." And I ignore it because my dad got to a certain stage as he was drinking more and more, he was just attention seeking and he was an extremely negative man. So I just thought he just wanted to my attention. So I didn't bother responding back. A couple of hours go by and I feel bad for not responding. So I text him back and I say, "Oh, you know, sorry to hear that. What is it? You know, I know you've been having hay fever. Is it linked to that? Or is it something else? Something you ate last night?" And he didn't respond back. And a couple hours later after that, my brother sends me two pictures. One was of an ambulance van and one was of my dad on the bed in the family home with a paramedic standing by next to him. So I called him up and my stepmom answers and she goes, "Oh, don't worry, Perry. Travis shouldn't have just scared you like that. Your dad's fine. He was having problems breathing because of the pain in his stomach from this morning. So the paramedics have come around and they're going to put him into the back of the ambulance, take him to the hospital to even out his blood levels." So I said, "Okay, fine." And my mom was like, "We're going to go and meet him after we've finished eating because we're in the middle of having dinner." I said, "Okay." Then maybe an hour goes by. And my phone rings again and it's my brother. He's on the other end of the call. And I said, "You're right. How's Dad?" He goes, "Dad's gone." I said, "What do you mean he's gone?" He's like, he's gone. I said, "Yeah, what? He's gone to the hospital." "No, he's dead." And then I remember I just slid off of my couch. And basically what had happened is they put my dad in the back of the ambulance and he had a heart attack on the way to the hospital. And he flatlined instantly. That's what the paramedic said. And he's 48 years old. He's young, young soul. When that happened, I, you know, went through my grieving process. Roughly about 6 months had passed. And I remember, I'm trying to connect the dots at this point of like, why nobody just becomes an alcoholic. Nobody sends their son a text saying to fight away the demons. Like I didn't understand. There was a lot of questions that I had with no answers. Mm-hmm. And this forced me to go on this journey of discovery, if you want to put it like that. And this then caused me to sort of confront what I was going through. And Lewis Howes at that point brings out a book called Mask of Masculinity. And I was watching him on the Ellen DeGeneres show, talking about his book, talking about how he went through sexual abuse as a kid and how he grew up as a teenager and as this masculine male wearing all of these different masks to fit into society so they didn't see the boy he was abused. And when he articulated it in that way, it completely was a mirror of the life that I had lived throughout my teenage years and going into college and being that guy. And I was like, right, you know, I'm 3 years into like personal development at this point. I'm like, right, I'm aware that I need to confront the situation. So my girlfriend at the time came home from work. I told her about the abuse. And then about 3 months later at a business mastermind conference with like 600 or 700 other entrepreneurs, I shared my story again there, just out of the blue. And then driving home, this is where everything then kicked off, driving home. I was like, right, I need to share my story again because I'm in this weird phase right now where I just need to share and get it off my chest for me. But I don't want to tell every Tom, Dick, and Harry. I want to do a video and get it out. So that's what I've done. Mm-hmm. Took me 7 takes, put the video up on Facebook, and then it, like, within the audience that I had then, it went viral. And what ended up happening is amongst all of the messages that came through, I ended up going to my stepmom's house and just seeing her and my grandma. And they're like, "Oh, we saw the video." I'm like, "Yeah, I assumed you would." And they said, "We didn't know it went on for 1.5 years. I was like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Well, when I caught it happening, I thought that was the only time it happened. You didn't let on that it was happening for 1.5 years prior to that." So that shocked me. And then I go around to my auntie's house, who's my dad's sister. And when I go around there, she then proceeds to tell me that it wasn't just me who got abused by my step-granddad. It was me, my cousin, my auntie, and my dad. So when I sort of sat back into the couch and then I realized all the dots connected, why my dad told me to keep it a secret, why he shut me down every time I bring up the conversation, why he became an alcoholic, why he had high blood pressure, and why he died from a heart attack before the age of 50. It all made sense to me because he lived and died in silence. And that's when my purpose became what it is now, to help other people not live and die in silence too.
Oh my goodness, that is so powerful. You begin to heal by telling your story. And that also allowed you to get the answers you needed to not just heal, but become whole. I absolutely love and respect it. Perry, now you've broken the silence. You're so positive and so young to be doing so many things. I just tip my hat to you. I know that you have charities. Tell a little bit about what they do.
Sure. So me and 2 other founders, we have a charity in America called We Rescue Kids. And what we do is we predominantly from referrals, whether it's from parents or from organizations that refer kids to us who come from sexually abused backgrounds or who have been sex trafficked. Mm-hmm. And we provide them with child therapists. So we give them basically free mental health care and we pay for it through donations to the therapists. So that is the charity in America. And on the 1st of June this year, the 5-year anniversary of my dad's death, I launched, at the moment it's still an organization because it's waiting for charity approval, called the Andy Project. And what the Andy Project is, it's in the name of my dad, Andy, and it's to help male victims of intrafamilial child sexual abuse who are living in silence, to help them successfully break that silence and to heal the wounds and traumas that they have. So, and that's the English side. And what I'm going to be doing as well this year is bringing We Rescue Kids over to England and have a UK branch of WRK and plug it into the NHS system, because there is a huge backlog and there's a lot of holes in the bucket in regards to the healthcare system in within the NHS here. And there's a lot of children who are going unnoticed or on a very long waiting list or only receive 6 sessions. That's the thing here. If a child receives 6 sessions, and sometimes just not enough. So that's also what I'm planning to do as well.
Much, much needed. And again, that you're helping out others that's in the shoes that you were in is just phenomenal. Many times we hide from our past, but you are doing something to make sure that it doesn't repeat, that the cycle is broken. And I applaud you that you're not only doing it in your country, but you're helping us as well. It has to feel good. It just has to feel good to know that you're changing lives. Truly, you are shining bright across the globe. Once you got all the pieces to the puzzle and you began to understand what was going on, I'm sure you had to forgive. Forgive yourself, forgive your dad, forgive the perpetrator. Explain how you were able to do that, or if you're still in the process, and why it's important, please.
Thank you for bringing that up. So forgiveness for me is the biggest, in my eyes, is the biggest key to being able to let go and move forward. Now, I see forgiveness in a different light to a lot of people, because for me, forgiveness is nothing about the abuser. It's got nothing to do with them. And it's like, and what I find is for those people who argue against that, I find that they still haven't been able to move on from what happened, you know, whereas I have been able to completely let go, luckily. And I put it down to forgiveness, because when my dad passed away, I was put in touch with a fitness coach. And the reason why I was put in touch with him is because his dad passed away too, and he was struggling to move forward. And he was stuck in the hate phase of the grief for quite some time. And he said to me that the biggest way he was able to move forward was from forgiveness. And he urged me to start looking back at all of the things that I felt guilty about or hated my dad about, and chose to forgive, because you know what? Maybe there was a reason for it that was out of my control. And sometimes, you know, we're human beings and things happen. So I looked at all the texts that I didn't respond back to with my dad. I looked at all of the spiteful things he would tell me, put it down to the fact that he was drunk, and I know deep down he wouldn't have meant them, and that enabled me to find forgiveness. And then after that, I was like, well, you know what? I still have a lot of pain linked to the abuse and linked to my step-granddad. Mm-hmm. I struggled to picture my nan without feeling some type of hate or negative feelings, because if I see my nan, then I'm also going to be seeing my step-granddad, because for as long as I can remember, they were always together. So I was like, well, let me implement the act of forgiveness to that too. So I started off by forgiving myself for the comments I used to make around the abuse and for not speaking up for 1.5 years. And I forgave myself, and I was like, well, you know what? I need to forgive him too. I'm not excusing him for what he'd done. I'm not letting him off the hook. I'm not giving him a get out of jail free card. It's actually got nothing to do with him. It's got everything to do with me, because I'm too worthy and I'm too whole and I'm too powerful to still be wrapped around the chains holding me back from him. And he's in the ground. He's dead. But how come he's still controlling me? So I was like, well, I'm going to do the same thing. And for me, when it comes to finding forgiveness, especially in a situation like that, it's about leading with curiosity, and it's about trying to seek understanding, removing the emotions and be like, okay, well, I see why you walked down that path. You could have picked a different path, but you didn't. You walked down that path, and I could see how, no matter how small the percentage is, it caused you to have those actions. And you know what? I'm sorry that that happened to you. I'm sorry that you lived that life. It really inflicted pain onto me, but you know what? I'm taking ownership now of what happened, and I'm going to use that to help me design a better life moving forward. And when I did the act of leading with curiosity, it enabled me to dive into my step-granddad's story and find out that he abused his kids, and to find out that growing up, him and his brother, after his parents died, were sent to a Catholic school in Ireland, and they were hit them and all of the other kids. If anybody has seen the movie Spotlight, their school, the area Cork in Ireland, is listed at the end of that movie. So it's known. There's known cases of school closed down because all of the priests there used to beat, rape, and molest all of the kids as punishment. Mm-hmm. So my step-granddad grew up in that environment. Like I said, it doesn't excuse it, but it did allow me to forgive because I was able to seek that understanding and move forward. So for those people who've been through trauma, who've been through abuse, forgiveness for me is definitely the biggest bit of advice that I can give.
Absolutely. Now, forgiveness doesn't just happen. From my experience, it comes in stages. And certainly I agree with you. It has to be done in order for you to move forward. When you're forgiving, you're also looking at yourself. And you also have to, like you said, you forgave yourself for the times you didn't respond, for the mm-hmm. things that you may have said, the thoughts that you have had. But also, forgiveness in the process. You go through anger, you go through grief, you go through so many other emotions. How do you recommend that we deal with that? And then there's times when you question, did I even forgive? You have triggers and things will take you back. So please speak on that and tell us what advice you have for us.
For sure. I think forgiveness isn't, it's not like once you forgive, then it's just a chapter of your story that's closed. It's like, well, forgiveness heals a lot of a wound. It doesn't heal all of your wounds. You know, life is a long healing journey, but forgiveness is definitely a key part. And like you mentioned, that forgiveness doesn't happen overnight. I can't say to myself right now, if we go back in time, right, I'm going to forgive my step-granddad. And then by the time I wake up tomorrow, it's done. It definitely comes in stages. And it's like, for example, if my partner leaves me today, I'm going to think about that tomorrow and I'm going to act in a certain way. Then the next day, I'm going to act in a certain way. And these stages are going to come from the, did that just happen, to why did she leave me? Is it me? Okay, there's things wrong with me. Okay, actually, you know what? No, there's nothing wrong with me. We just are not a match. You know, and you go through these different stages until you come to this point of, you know what? It wasn't meant to be. In this situation, you know what? Forgiveness was meant to happen because I need to do it moving forward. And with the feelings that come, like the anger, like the, whether it's guilt, the shame and things like that, which do happen as branches from abuse mm-hmm. and trauma, they will still be there naturally. Maybe just not as much as they would have been before forgiveness, before you'd found that forgiveness. You know, like before I found forgiveness, I had a lot of hate towards myself and towards them. And I had shame. I had the fear of rejection, the fear of being outcasted. But once I found forgiveness for myself for what happened, I was like, well, you know what? I'm not a freak. You know, I didn't deserve it. It just happened. It's something that happened to me. We can't control what happens to us a lot of the times, but we can always control how we respond to it. And that's what I believe, that moving forward, if you do find forgiveness, you still may have things like triggers, because trauma is very, very complex. You still may have triggers. You still may be battling with things like shame, but it would be a lot worse if you hadn't found forgiveness.
Absolutely agree with you. Like I said, forgiveness is a process, and we always have to remember things happen to us that we can't control, but we control our response. And it's never too late to control how you're going to respond to a situation, whether it was 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, or 50 years ago. You can change that thought process and forgive yourself and others. Please tell us the name of your book, what inspired you to write, and where can we find it?
Yeah, so the book is called Breaking the Silence. If you go onto Amazon, you put in Breaking the Silence, it should be there within like the first 1, 2, maybe 3 listings. If it's not, then Breaking the Silence, Perry Power, with my name. What inspired me to write it? Well, I was maybe 2 years into sharing my story. I'd gone viral on TikTok and I had loads of people sort of like reaching out to me and what have you. And I was like, well, I need another way to get this story out. I need another medium. And I've always liked writing. The idea was there, but I didn't take action on it. 2 episodes into the Jeffrey Epstein documentary on Netflix, and one of the women, she just happened to say something. It was along the lines of, like, I knew what was happening, but there was all, you know, there was a door at his house. The door leads to an exit, it leads to the street. I could have ran away. However, the man was so powerful that I didn't feel like I had any choice. I was powerless. And I just lived in silence for so long. When she said that, I was like, boom, I just need to do it. So I wrote the book in like under 4 weeks. However, I sat on it because I had this idea that when I've done this book, it's going to be published. It's going to be in all the bookstores. There's going to be money behind it for marketing. It's going to have the best design cover on it. And I didn't, at the time, didn't have the money to do any of that. So I sat on it because this perfectionism, which is just insecurities, didn't allow me to do it. A year goes by. And I just woke up one day. I was like, dude, what are you doing? A year has passed and the book ain't out yet. Just get the book out. Self-publish it on Amazon. Do the design yourself in Canva. Spell check the book yourself using Grammarly, the Google extension. And just get the book out. So I was like, you know what? Fine, I'm just going to do it. So I then did it all myself. And I self-published it on Amazon. And then in a few weeks, it became bestseller in two categories, mental health and the sexual abuse categories in England and in the US. And then from there, it led to me to doing a TEDx talk, and it just led to media attention. Like, lots of things happened from it, which was absolutely amazing. And then just a very, very quick sort of summary. The book is split in three parts. So part one of the book is my story and breaking my silence. Part two of the book, there's stories in there from 14 different survivors, and they talk about their abuse. Half of them are named, half of them are unnamed. So quite a few of them are sharing their story for the very first time. And then the page after that, for the 15th story, there's space there for the reader to get a pen and write their story inside the book, so they become the 15th survivor.
Amazing.
And part three of the book is different chapters: masculinity, letting go, shifting identity, ways to break the silence. So different chapters that one can take to break their silence and to at least handle and deal with their trauma in a much more efficient way, heal their wounds even more. And there's questions and there's exercises in there. So it's more of like a guide that they can actually take action on.
Breaking the silence. I am so grateful that you went ahead and published that book. Now, I'm not going to overlook those gems that you dropped. So for all of those out there that have a story to be told and you're waiting for the right time and you don't know this and you don't know that, Harry just told you, you can use Grammarly, you can use Canva, and you can publish on Amazon. And those tips are real. So we'll leave that there and encourage you to write your story. Get that freedom and liberation that comes from telling your story. Once you put something on pages, it outlives you. It helps generations and generations to come. I encourage you, purchase the book, Break the Silence. Maybe you don't feel as though you need it. Maybe you haven't suffered this type of trauma, but I know that you know somebody that has, because it happens way, way too often. So purchase the book. And then, as always, write a review. Let Perry know what you think about the book. How has it helped you? He would love to hear that. For those of you that think that Power is not his last name, it is his legal last name, Perry Power. And I find it ironic because he went from powerless to powerful by telling his story. The things that are in a name. So grateful to have you on Purifying Truths, Perry. Please tell us, how can we connect with you as an audience?
Sure. Thank you so much for those words. You can connect with me on Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook. I am Perry Power is my handle that goes across all of them. And am I able to just share one last thing before we jump off? Is that okay?
Yes, of course. Yep.
I always make sure that I share this. For those people who are listening who are living in silence, you've heard my story and you're like, okay, well, Perry was living in silence and he broke it for the first time by having his girlfriend come home from work and he told her. Now, I always really make an urge to get this bit of information out wherever I can. And is, if you're living in silence, don't do what I done initially. The reason why I say that is because if my girlfriend had come home and I told her, Abby, I got abused as a child. You know, I've lived in silence for so long. It was my step-granddad. It happened for over a year and a half. And she either laughed in my face, she said, you're lying, or she gave me any type of reaction that I was, you know, not hoping for, then that could have sent me into a longer, deeper dark pit of silence for the rest of my life, because now I associate breaking my silence and my story with rejection. Mm-hmm. So what I want you guys to do, if you're living in silence, I want you to break the silence to yourself first in as many different ways as possible. So instead of telling your spouse, your family member, or your friend on step number one, make that step number 22 or step number 16, and make the first 15 steps you sharing your story in a different way. Writing a poem, choreographing a dance piece, telling yourself in the mirror, doing a piece of artwork where you're expressing your story through the paint that you put in on that canvas. Anything, any type of activity, because voice is just one form of expression. There's many different ways to express. So express your story to yourself in as many different ways as possible, because each time you do that, you're claiming ownership of your truth and of your story every single time. And then when it does come to that 16th, that 17th, the 22nd time of you sharing your story, and you do decide to tell somebody, you're now telling somebody in a place of power. If they give you a response that you weren't hoping for, it's unfortunate, but you're going to allow that to bounce off of you, because now you're sharing, because you've already confronted your own truth, right? You don't need this validation from somebody, and you'll share your story again. So I just wanted to really get that out there for those people who are listening.
That is powerful. You must make sure that you are well prepared before you tell anyone your story. And that preparation is internal. I thank you for adding that on, because it is excellent advice. Excellent advice. And it's not spoken from the classroom, people. This is from life experience. And we all know life teaches us much more than a textbook. Perry, thank you so much for joining Purifying Truths. We know how we can connect with you. We will be doing so. And are there any last tips that you would like to give to the audience?
Yes. So my last tips would be, Tony Robbins says a lot, change your story, change your life. And that is very true. But what I have found from experience and from this being my message for quite a few years now, is that if you've been through abuse and if you've been through trauma, don't try to change your story to change your life. What I want you to do instead is to own your story. Because if you can own your story, you're confronting your truths. And if you can take ownership over your story, then you'll take ownership over your life. You don't need to change your story. You don't need to change what happened to you. You don't need to change the path that you're walking on, because the chapters that you have lived so far happened for a reason, and you don't need to change them. So take ownership over the story that you have lived, so you can take ownership over the life that you want to live.
Oh my goodness. You are phenomenal. To be so wise, take ownership of what happened. It's not who you are, it's what you've been through. And those truths will indeed set you free mentally and physically to move forward. Perry, thank you for joining Purifying Truths. It has been an honor and a pleasure. As far as your charity, We Rescue Kids, what can we do to help?
If you're in the States, if you know children, whether they are personal to you or friends, or you just happen to know them from extended relatives, then and they've been through sexual abuse and they need mental health care, then please refer them to us, werescuekids.org. On Instagram, We Rescue Kids, you'll see us, we come up. And if you refer your kids or some kids to us, then we'll partner up with a therapist, we get on a call, and then we'll organize, whether it's 3 months or whether it's 6 months or whether it's an ongoing basis, with that mental health care support. Or if you know organizations that take referrals from children, maybe who have been sexually abused, who've been put into the foster care system and they need healthcare support, then definitely reach out to us so we can get that sorted.
We will certainly do so. Please remember, you can't fight away your demons. Check on your friends and make sure that you have your eyes and your ears open. It's not a joke. We are not lying. We have been through and we want to help. Perry, thank you once again. It has been amazing.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to Purifying Truths with A-Star. You too can connect with A-Star. Instagram and Facebook at Facets of A-Star. Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for exciting new guests who illuminate the world in the various facets of life.